The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hey, we've got tons of listeners today, tons of viewers today. We're glad to have you with us. We're expanding overseas. Hey, look, if you missed last week's episode, we had Polina Ryshikov. She's the lead economist from Sunday.com. She was here to educate people on all things real estate, what happened in 2021, what happened in 2022, what you can expect here for the remainder of the year. You can always go to savingwithsteve.us website to look for episode 73, which is the Pauline episode, which from last week, you want to check it out. It'll make a big difference if you're interested in buying and selling real estate. Now this week, hey, it's in time to pack those bags, to sort through the bucket list of dream vacations, because nearly half of Americans are ready to hit the road this year. According to a recent Value Penguin survey, Americans are planning to spend big on travel, and many will be keeping their eyes peeled for travel rewards, credit cards to help offset some of those costs. We have Sophia Mendel from Travel Penguin. She's a world traveler. She's an expert in credit card rewards and travel rewards. So stick around for that. But first, I'm going to be walking you through the new legislation that just passed the House. It's called the Securing a Strong Retirement Act. Now, a lot of people are referring to it as the Secure Act 2, which came in 2019, and they're looking at making some changes. Now, I'm not going to go over all the political stuff, but I will say this. The vote was 414-5. That means it's a bipartisan Republican, Democrat. They're both looking to secure everybody's retirement. And here's some of the things they're talking about so I could tell you about what it really means to you. Now, the first thing is this. If you're an employer and have 10 or fewer employees, okay, or your business has been in business for less than 3 years, you're excluded from this next one. But if you have 10 or more employees and been in business for more than 3 years, they, you know what? They're looking at having their employers to require employees to automatically enroll their employees in a 401k plan, with the employee saving 3% of their income each year and have it increased by 3% until 10% of their pay. Now, this is really designed to get people to save so they can have a retirement. Next, catch-up contributions. You know, if you're 50 or older, okay, you can make contributions on top of the $20,500 you can add to a 401k. You can add $6,000 now. And then for those who qualify in 2022, an extra $6,500. But with both the House and the Senate, their bills are aimed at adding $10,000 as a catch-up contributions for people 62, 63, 64 in 2024. And if you're in a simple IRA or a simple plan, it'll allow you to contribute $5,000 instead of $3,000, which is big. Now, some plans would just like that if you're over the age of 60, you can add an extra $10,000. This is wonderful for people who are looking to catch up or late savers. So there's an opportunity here. Now, next, the required minimum distributions. We all know that people are working longer. Secure Act 2019 said, hey, we moved the required minimum distribution from the age of 70 and a half to 72. The new legislation would put the required minimum distribution not starting till age 73, beginning in 2023. 74 in 2030, and 75 in 2023. On top of that, for individuals who have less than $100,000 in aggregate requirement savings, guess what? They won't have to take a required minimum distribution. And if you forget to take it, right now there's a 50% penalty. And if it gets voted in, there will only be a 25% penalty. On top of that, there's things like they see the benefit of an annuity, and it's done through what's called a qualified longevity annuity contract, or affectionately known as a QLAC. Once you've purchased an annuity, you can specify when you want the income to start. Now, right now, the limits are $135,000 or 25% of your value of your retirement account, whichever's less, but both of the bills would cap the would remove the 25% cap, and the measure would also increase the max amount owed or allowed into a QLAC of $200,000. Now, here's the thing that you want to know. Yes, this has passed the House. It has to pass the Senate, and President Biden's got to sign off it. But when you have both sides of the fence saying, yeah, this is something we're going to do, it's really about a matter of them working out the language. You can see something that should come before the end of the year. And by golly, folks, it could make a big difference in your life, because this is really about the title. And that title of the bill is not Secure Act 2, but the title of that bill is the Retirement Security, Securing a Strong Retirement Act. It's called a Securing a Strong Retirement Act. So that's a biggie. Now, look, if you want to stick with us, we're going to be right back. We have Sophia Mendel of Value Penguins. She's got some great information for you, especially if you're looking to travel. We're going to unpack the survey from Value Penguin and a whole lot more. So stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio. Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, again, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. First of all, I want to thank Sophia Mendel for joining us today. She's a credit card and travel rewards writer, travel expert with Value Penguin, where she views the top credit cards, travel reward programs to make them more digestible for consumers like us today. Her induction in the points and miles have completely revolutionized the way she travels. She's an expert in the travel space, having visited over 40 countries and lived in five. Her work has been featured on Value Penguin, Lonely Planet, Hostel World, Boots and All, Transition Abroad. She documents her worldwide travels on her blog, The Unbounded Traveler. So, hey, if you want to check out her blog, go to The Unbounded Traveler. I know people love checking out blogs, especially when it comes to travel and all the little tips. Sophia, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm really, really glad. Now, you know what? One of the big things about our guests, everybody likes to know, how did you get into loving to travel? You know, when you've been to 40 countries and travel and you're writing, you kind of got to be a little bit of a travel nerd. So how did that all come about?
Yeah, no, I'm a total travel nerd, complete. I honestly, it's a pretty basic way to start out, but I fell in love with travel after a semester studying abroad in Madrid, Spain. And then I stayed on afterwards and I traveled around to almost the rest of the countries in Europe, not quite all of them, but many of them. And I couldn't stop after that. After college, I then moved to Argentina for a while and then back to the States. And I've just been bopping around and doing my thing.
Well, that's wonderful. I think that's great. You know what? My experience with travel is I had to go travel for work and Europe and the Pacific Rim. And the cool thing I liked about it, even though I worked, was the fact I was actually get to know the people, because I was there from anywhere from 1 month to 3 or 4 months, and sometimes Definitely. 6 or 8. But I mean, you really got to know people and understand how they live and the way they think. And how crazy people think other countries are just because of their own perspective. It just was really interesting. Today I'd like to talk about Travel Penguin survey and, you know, the big headline for that survey. It says, you know what, you have nearly half of travelers have been, got all this pent-up demand to go travel because of the last couple of years. So, you know, kind of walk us through what's going on there. What are people looking at? What should people be doing if they're looking at traveling?
I think it's probably pretty unsurprising to hear that more people are ready to travel after an almost 2-year hiatus during COVID-19. So, I would say these findings are super optimistic and maybe not particularly shocking, especially for people that have been, you know, itching to get out there and travel, but it's been impossible. So, I would recommend anybody looking towards travel this year to, for sure, step one is open a travel rewards card. You can just get so untold amounts of value from opening a travel rewards card.
You know what? I just saw this the other day. Southwest, you know, you get those little emails. They'll say, hey, open up this card. We'll give you 50,000 points.
Right.
And then when you take a look at what 50,000 points will get you, that could be 7-8 trips.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or one major trip, you know, overseas. It really depends on, you know, what your travel goals are. But for sure, that's super useful.
So when you're looking at the travel rewards, what are typically the best cards to look at?
You know, I would say I can tell you what the best travel cards are overall. What are the most popular cards, which would just be off the top of my head. Chase Sapphire Preferred, Chase Sapphire Reserve. I like the Platinum card from American Express. Those are three really good ones for travel, but you will have to have kind of a high credit score in order to be approved. So if you're going to apply for a travel rewards card, definitely a tip is to make sure you check your own credit score before applying so that you're, you know, not caught off guard if you don't get approved.
So basically what you're saying is those are the higher end cards, which use the higher limits. So they want to give those people the rewards. So
yeah, definitely.
Oh, good, good, good. Now, let's see. So what are the big, do you have the survey impact? What are the places that people want to go see?
You know what? We didn't talk about that too much in the survey, but I would imagine that people are now thinking of traveling internationally. And actually, I do have some stats on that for you. I found that a fourth of Gen Z and millennials are planning to take that big bucket list trip this year, while a third of travelers that make over $100,000 a year are planning to take international trips. But so that's kind of an interesting finding. People are ready. They're ready to spend money. They're ready to take a big trip, you know, do the trips that they've been waiting to take for a couple of years now. It's finally happening.
Yeah. You know what? The interesting part is I have a niece that was supposed to get married in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Because of COVID, they're getting married next month. So
yeah,
we postponed it twice. So yeah, I could see that too. One of the big questions is you've traveled around the world. What is the best advice you can give somebody for looking to travel around the world, especially in these times?
I would say, well, if you had asked me 2 years ago, my advice would probably be different than what it is now. But right now, I would say the absolute most important thing you can do is check the COVID restrictions. Know what you need before you go internationally and even domestically. I mean, I know some states in the U.S. are requiring, we're not calling it green passes, but they're just requiring that you show your vaccination status or negative COVID test in order to go to places like movie theaters, restaurants, stuff like that. And abroad, I know that that's definitely a thing, especially I'm planning a trip to Italy next month. So I've been looking into that. And they require the green pass or the COVID vaccination card everywhere you go. So that's super important. And I would say, yeah, check the requirements for entry, check the requirements for entry, re-entry back into the U.S. That's going to be number one.
When you talk about a green pass, I know in the United States, we have those cards that are from the CDC. Is there a universal card that people should have? For example, in, you know what, we put our information in to here in California into a little electronic card that we can show when we go to a play or something like that. Is it something similar when you're traveling overseas?
You know what? I really wish it was.
Okay, great. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and be right back. So stick with us. We have more Sophia Mendel. She's talking about travel, credit card rewards, and more. We'll be right back in just a few moments here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship. Now, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. And you know what? All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information, hey, check us out on our YouTube channel, Spotify or Google Play. I'd like to have you check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City. All these networkers are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now, if you're like to follow us on Facebook, you can go to Saving with Steve Sexton. You can get insider gifts. You can get guest gifts. You can view all the replays. Again, that's savingwithsteve.us. Now back with Sophia Mendel. Hey, we'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, we were talking about having, number one thing is to have that green card if you're European, or that CDC card if you're United States. After that, what's the most important thing people should be looking at when they're looking to travel overseas?
That is a really good question, Steve. I would say plan your route. I like to plan, so I'm a big planner. I would say know where you're going, know how to get from place to place. Look at the most economical way to get from place to place, whether that's, say, you're going to Europe, trains, or maybe it's cheap flights. Or if you're not on a budget, just, you know, if you're not on a budget and you're not concerned with time constraints, maybe rent a car, maybe hire a private car, anything, you know, stuff like that is good. I like to say if you're going somewhere more, a little bit more off the beaten path, check if you can drink the water is a big one that's burned me a couple of times. Check to see, you know, is the street food something that is something that you can comfortably eat and not get sick from? Travel illness is a big thing for me.
Well, I think that's big for everybody, because even though, you know what, I've had the deep fried spiders and stuff like that in other countries, which seem gross to people, but they actually taste like, you know, candy pecans. with an almond filling. But I've also seen people eat stuff and the next day they were in really tough shape. Yep. So I agree with that one. And also the drink the water stuff is very, very big. I was in certain parts of South Africa while I was working there, and I just decided to drink out of a fountain, and It wasn't, you know, I'll tell you what, I lost a lot of unwanted weight in the next 5 days. So it's one of those things where regardless of how great your constitution is, it's important to do those things. Now, that's really important. So the next thing is this. We've seen a big rise in remote work, and obviously it makes it easier to get away. But you know what? What should people be thinking about if they are, you know, what considering, you know, getting away, doing remote work? What do they need to be concerned about? You know, self-service, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, actually, according to our survey, we found that about 40% of Gen Z and millennials are actually planning to take to work remotely on at least one of their trips. And 30% of all Americans are planning, which is to do that. So that's a huge, huge amount. I mean, definitely up from what it would have been before COVID. So yeah, these tips will be useful, I would imagine. I would say check the time zone where you're headed. Make sure that it aligns appropriately with your work schedule. Figure out with your employer how you can make that work if there's a time difference. Even for me, I'm heading to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil to work and check it out. And I'm going to do the digital nomad thing. So it's only 2 hours ahead of the time zone that I'm usually in, but it totally adjusts my work schedule. So I have to account for that. I would say make sure that you are going to work in a place that has appropriate Wi-Fi connection. That's going to be open and quiet during when you need to work. And definitely set boundaries, because if you're going to a new place and you want to work remotely, you want to make sure you have enough time to enjoy yourself while you're there, enjoy while you want to enjoy, and work when you need to work. So for me, that's the hardest thing, to figure out how to set those types of boundaries.
Now, what about, you know, the Airbnbs and places like that overseas? How does that work? Is it different than what we, you know, experiencing over here, or is it just the same? What do you have to watch out for?
As far as renting an Airbnb, you mean?
Yep.
Gosh, you know, in my experience, it's similar. Renting an Airbnb in the US and renting an Airbnb abroad is really similar. It can get tricky, as you mentioned before, with like self-service and things like that. If your phone isn't working, a lot of times you need to connect with your host once you're in the destination. I know kind of a relatively new thing is a lot of cell phone providers like AT&T, you can do just like turn on your data for $10 a day and then use your phone normally. And so that might be worth it if you're doing an Airbnb or a VRBO type situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when it comes to the actual travel plans and you're overseas, are there basic or what are the best websites or locations to go to get the best airline ticket prices?
Oh, I love that question.
Sounds like you've done that before.
I have done that a time or two. Google Flights is by and large my go-to. I feel that Google Flights has the most resources. It's super useful to use. It has like a lot of elements that you can use to find if you're not sure where you want to go. It has kind of a map with flight prices. If you're flexible on your dates, it has a map with, you know, when's the cheapest date or when's, you know, when is it going to be more expensive? The only thing I will say about using Google Flights is that some airlines are not on Google Flights. For example, Southwest, you have to go to their website specifically. Off the top of my head, I can't think of which other airlines are not included on Google Flights, but for the most part, it covers a lot of, you know, most of what you'd need.
Okay. That's great. That's good to know. Now, when it comes to, you know, renting cars and things like that, you can go to Enterprise, Alamo, and obviously there's different carriers when you're going overseas, but is there things to look out for when renting vehicles? Is there insurance is an issue?
I can actually speak to this personally. My boyfriend and I just went to AAA the other day to get our international driver's permits because we're planning on renting a car in Italy. And I would have never expected that you'd need that, but I read, you know, somebody else's travel blog online that said, do not rent a car unless you have your international driver's permits, because you might need that in addition to the insurance, or there can be big fines, or you can run into all sorts of issues. So that's not, you know, That's not a blanket statement for all countries. I don't know if every place requires something like that. Definitely Italy does. And I would imagine other places in Europe do too.
So how much did it cost you to get an international driver's permit at AAA?
It was like $20. It was so cheap.
Yeah, it's worth the $20. You know what? I actually can vouch for that because when I worked overseas, which was like 8 years straight, I always had a, international, I thought it was an international driver's license, but it's an international driver's permit. Yeah. And for that $20, you know what, I'll say this, if you don't have what the country requires, you're looked on as like a scufflaw. So you could be the one that could be responsible for an accident, even though you might not have been in fault just right. because you're a foreigner without the right documents. So, you know, not right. to scare everybody, but I've had conversations with many people that have had issues with that. Sophia, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank you for imparting your wisdom and your knowledge from your travel as well as with the credit card rewards. It means a lot to our viewers. And you know what? Sometime in the future, we'd love to have you back, talk a little bit about travel, some rewards, as well as some of the cool places you've been.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Everybody, this is Sophia Mendel with Value Penguin. Hey, you know what? You probably want to check out her blog called Unbounded Traveler. Is that right?
Yeah, The Unbounded Traveler.
The Unbounded Traveler. Check it out. I think that'd be pretty cool. She would probably love to communicate with you. With that, hey, you know what? Next week, we have Felix Skipcu. He's a cryptocurrency expert out of the Chicago, Illinois area. And for all you cryptocurrency people, you want to stick around for that. So look forward to seeing you all next week. Thanks for being with us this week right here on Saving with Steve. Be safe, be healthy. Bye-bye.
Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate you sharing us with your friends, your family, your associates. We've expanded throughout the United States. We're international, so we're very, very happy with that. Last week, we had Shannon Dentice educate us on how to eat healthy on a budget. We had a large number of people providing wonderful feedback on that episode. If you missed Shannon Dentice on how to eat healthy on a budget, just go to savingwithsteve.us and look for episode 85. You can see all other 85 episodes there. They're there for you. You can get guest gifts, see background information, the whole shot. I'm going to be talking on how to achieve a happy retirement. So let's go do that before we jump in with Dr. Joan Rosenberg. She's got this wonderful book called 90 Seconds to a Life You Love, How to Master Your Difficult Feeling to Cultivate Lasting Confidence, Resilience, Authenticity. I can't wait for her to be in the show, but let's go ahead and move forward to how to achieve a happy retirement. Retirement. As someone who specializes in helping people financially prepare for retirement, here are some practical tips I've shared with my clients in the past. The more financially secure you are in retirement, the more stress-free your retirement years will be. If you've taken the steps to prepare yourself financially for retirement, this means you've saved enough money during the working years to be comfortable in your golden years. Key here is to start saving as early as possible and aim to have your mortgage fully paid off before retirement. If you're able to diversify your sources of retirement income, even better. This could be from your investments, rental income, part-time work, Social Security, and more. When it comes to investing, think of your golden years as the time to invest for income, not growth, which can be risky for your finances in retirement. And we've seen that as of late. Lastly, it's important to regularly check in on your finances in retirement to ensure everything's on track. That means sit down with a financial professional if you aren't already one. Next, prioritize your health. Health problems in old age will hinder your ability to enjoy your retirement.
So caring for your body through proper nutrition, fitness, good sleep, and regular doctor visits is even more important during this time. Focus on as much as you can on preventative care. It's much easier to prevent the illness than treat it. As part of your retirement financial plan, you should budget enough money for wellness, extra doctor visits, just in case. Next, create a daily routine and stick to it. It can be difficult to transition from working a 9-to-5 the majority of your life to suddenly have a lot of free time. Creating a daily routine helps you to ground you in retirement and prevent feelings of helplessness, boredom, or unproductivity. Remember, you now have the privilege to create an identity and schedule outside of work that benefited you and your interests. Take advantage of it. Whatever it's making more time for friendships, hobbies you already love, personal wellness, make room in your routine for things that energize you and bring you joy. Family, friends, concerts, all those things you wanted to do. This is that time. Now, that said, don't be afraid to try new things. Just as important as establishing your routine and trying new things in retirement, as we get older, it's easy to lose initiative and feel too comfortable in your comfort zone, which can lead to lethargy, feelings of depression, and anxiety. Whether it's learning a new skill, traveling somewhere new, or meeting new people, try new things to help keep your mind and spirit sharp in old age. I have couples that what they do is they go look on Groupon or some other activity website and look for something new. And they try one thing new every single month. They've been to cooking classes, day trips, travel things, new hobbies, new skills to develop, swimming, they got into the martial, all sorts of stuff. But it's kept them active and healthy for most of their life. And oh, by the way, those people are 95 years old and still kicking. So could you. So hey, look, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. It's a short segment. Each and every week, I'm going to bring you something where I'm going to give you my best advice to help you retire smarter. With that, we're going to move on to our next segment. We're going to be talking with Dr. Rosenberg. We're going to be talking to her about a Rosenberg reset. And you're going to want to stick around for that because there's some wonderful tools that you can take to heart. And then we're going to talk about how you can connect with Dr. Rosenberg as well as obtain her book. So stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything on the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to encourage you to connect with our affiliates, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, AMFM 247, Talk Radio New York City, as well as AMFM 360 TV, which is our new connection with us. They're all dedicated to helping you live a life of financial and personal freedom. If you'd like to see more episodes, you can go to savingwithsteve.us, or if you want to just follow us on Facebook, go to Saving with Steve Sexton, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Now, for our guests today, I want you to think about this. How would you like a roadmap for understanding how to spot, understand your emotions, identify, overcome the distractions, release your anxiety, resolve faulty thinking and negative self-talk, speak your truth, move through grief, up-level your confidence and resilience. All these can become possible when you consciously ride through your emotional wave and gain the confidence that you can handle whatever comes your way. Our guest, Dr. Joan Rosenberg, cutting-edge psychologist, public speaker, has been seen on CNN, American Morning Show, and many other TV and radio appearances. She is a professor at my alma mater, Pepperdine University, and has written a groundbreaking international best-selling book, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love, How to Master Your Difficult Feelings to Cultivate Lasting Confidence, Resilience, and Authenticity. Dr. Rosenberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a treat.
You know what? We're very, very, very excited to have you here today. I just want you to know that. I know there's a number of my wife's friends that are actually watching and listening right now, and they'll probably listen to this a few times. By the way, my wife did steal your book from me, so I actually, so just saying, didn't get to read the whole thing.
Although, look, it's the news to my ears.
Now, you've had 40 years as a psychologist, and I'm just curious, what got you into psychology?
What got me into psychology? Probably a natural drift. It was a natural kind of lean into for me. The truth is, I actually wanted to be an outward bound instructor. And if you're familiar with Outward Bound is the outdoor experiential program that uses nature as a medium for personal growth. So even in my teens, I was interested in personal growth. And so I did programs of that, but I didn't ever go that to do that full time. So the way I like to look at it is instead of going outward bound, I went inward bound. But the tendency or the trend for me was always toward a very, very strong interest in personal growth.
Oh, well, that's cool. You know, it sounds like you've had that passion since you were young. So that's wonderful. The book is great. I mean, obviously, I haven't read it, but my wife's enthralled in it. So it's got to be great because she doesn't read stuff and continue to read it. And one of the things I wanted to do just really quick is there's hundreds of reviews on your book on Amazon. Uh-huh. One of them, it just says, the book helps you, number one, realize when you're running away from your true emotions, face your difficult emotions, you know, riding the wave, and choose to live a life full of meaning and intention. One of the things that really got me is this happens to me sometimes. The person says, I never would have bought the book with this title if someone didn't recommend it to me. I'm so glad I bought it. I dealt with anxiety and depression for as long as I can remember. Rooting those issues in my inability to deal with unpleasant emotions was something I never considered. I've been practicing her reset for the past month and my life has changed. And the last one says, those simple truths are the most profound. When you are in unpleasant emotions that can feel overwhelming, recognize that they only last 90 seconds makes them feel manageable. This book makes me more brave, more empathetic by reframing what and so many of us try to avoid. And wow. And just those references are big because people are getting a lot out of this. And many people are dealing with anxiety, depression, all sorts of emotions they just don't know how to deal with. And a lot of it just comes from people not speaking their truth. And I'd like you to talk about the signs that people should come to realize when they're not speaking their truth. Could you start there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want you to understand that difficulty speaking up is not a speaking problem. Difficulty speaking up is a difficulty with unpleasant feeling problem. It really is, again, centered in the unpleasant feelings that I talk about. I name a variety of different kinds of things and have a list of that in the book. So some of them include things like you're concerned that people are going to laugh at you, so you don't speak up, or you hold your opinion back. You have things kind of swirling in your head, but you don't say anything. You might have the experience of feeling trapped. And really what I like to think of in terms of this idea of feeling trapped, it's not that you're trapped in a situation. It's that more often than not, your words are trapped in you. And so that's part of a sign that you're not speaking up. You don't ask for help, or that when you start to speak up, you get into this kind of what a friend of mine calls kind of that sweaty experience, the sweaty conversation, that your heart races, your breathing is more shallow, you start to get anxious, what people would describe as anxious and panicky. So that's happening when you try to speak up, or you don't share things that are important to you, you don't share those with others. So there's a whole wide array of things that we do to not speak up. That's just like five or six different things right there in terms of signals to me that someone is having having difficulty saying what they want to say.
Could you help us understand what disguised grief is?
Absolutely. What I found as I did the work of psychotherapy with clients, that more often than not, if they were stayed with me long term, I began to understand that psychotherapy was a grieving process and that there were a lot of things that kind of went unnoticed. So the way to understand disguised grief, it's the grief, if you will, about the gap between what we dreamed of, what we wanted, what we desired, what we needed, and what we really got. So in that is disguised grief. But a couple different things to kind of parse out here. I think of grief, generally speaking, as comprised of at least four feelings. And the four feelings are sadness, helplessness, anger, and disappointment. So if someone is experiencing any one of those individually or some combination collectively, they're grieving. Again, we don't necessarily think of sadness as, oh, I'm grieving, or disappointment as I'm grieving, or anger as I'm grieving. But that's the way I think of it, that some measure of that is grief, or we can call it grief. And the disguised grief for me is known in two major ways. One is what I call through grief signal words. So what are grief signal words? They're words like bitterness, holding grudges, desire for revenge, jealousy, envy, pessimism, cynicism, sarcasm sometimes is, longstanding hurts. I mean, it's a long list. And so that underneath those words, think of jealousy as disguised grief, because underneath it is probably some sadness, helplessness, anger, or disappointment. Or the same with bitterness or resentment. Underneath is one or more of those four feelings.
So it's almost like, and I'm just paraphrasing, tell me if I get this wrong, but I work with somebody who lost their husband early.
Right.
And I would say for 6-7 years of me knowing her, I think she was still upset at him for passing away. The fact that she didn't used to handle the business, he handled it all, and it all got dumped on her. She's upset at that as well. And because she had to jump right into dealing with all that, I don't think she ever got to deal with his passing.
Absolutely. Lots of grief there.
And that could happen if you had a situation where you got taken advantage of, whether it be financially or somewhere else, or even when you're little, maybe you got passed over for that promotion or somebody submarined you at the office. And you still got to work there, but you got to deal with all that stuff.
Right. So that's one way of knowing. So that the grief signal words is one way of knowing. To what you're starting to describe, I also use five other categories to help someone understand disguised grief. For me, it's the categories of grieving over what you got and didn't deserve. So that might be the bad stuff. That might be growing up in a chaotic or an abusive home or a neglectful home. It's grieving over what you deserved and didn't get. So that might be missing the nurturance, the ongoing praise, the compliments, the fair-mindedness, all that kind of stuff, support, and nobody showing up for your meets or your competitions, or it's grieving over what never was, meaning kind of the facts and circumstances of your early life, and in this case, probably missed opportunities. It's grieving over what is not now, same thing, facts and circumstances of your current life. And then the last one is grieving over what may never be. So that the person who lost her husband early probably had many layers of grief.
Wow. We're going to have to take a quick break here. Got to pay some bills. We're going to be right back with Dr. Rosenberg. We're going to be talking to her about a Rosenberg reset. You're going to want to stick around for that, because there's some wonderful tools that you can take to heart. And then we're going to talk about how you can connect with Dr. Rosenberg as well as obtain her book. So stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio. Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything on the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to encourage you to connect with our affiliates, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, AMFM 247, Talk Radio New York City, as well as AMFM 360 TV, which is our new connection with us. They're all dedicated to helping you live a life of financial and personal freedom. If you'd like to go to see more episodes, you can go to savingwithsteve.us, or if you want to just follow us on Facebook, go to Saving with Steve Sexton, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Now, we have more with Dr. Joan Rosenberg. We've been talking about 90 seconds to a life you love, how to master your difficult feelings to cultivate lasting confidence, resilience, and authenticity. Now, Dr. Rosenberg has a process she's used called the Rosenberg Reset. Okay, it's been trademarked. It's wonderful. You know, Dr. Rosenberg, could you tell us a little bit about it And then go into the five key steps for unleashing your confidence.
Think of the Rosenberg reset as the way to lean into unpleasant or difficult feelings. And the reset involves kind of a, think of it as a formula, one choice, eight feelings, 90 seconds. And the one choice has to do with being aware of, as opposed to avoiding your experience or avoiding your feelings. And most people handle pleasant feelings well. It's the unpleasant ones that they don't. So my focus is predominantly on the unpleasant feelings. But the key here is that I want somebody to be as aware of or in touch with as much of their moment-to-moment experience as possible, as opposed to distracting, like through social media, food, sex, porn, shopping, having feelings about having feelings, anxiety, harsh self-criticism, the list that I think I have 35 different ways that we distract. I watch people get backaches, stomach aches, different kinds of pains. They develop addictive problems like substance use or shopping or gambling or you name it. It can go on and on. And so, yes, and so that it creates a number of other psychological problems. They increase the anxiety, and then they also might come up with bodily complaints as opposed to dealing with the emotions.
That's really good to know, because you know there are so many people doing the same thing. I love this.
So the one choice is leaning into the feeling, choosing into awareness as opposed to avoidance. I want you to be aware and in touch with what's going on. The second is the eight feelings. Now, the eight feelings I talk about all the time are sadness, shame, helplessness, anger, vulnerability, embarrassment, disappointment, and frustration. And the most common question I get is like, why these eight? And for me, it's because these eight feelings represent the kind of most common everyday spontaneous reactions to things not turning out the way we want or the way we believe they need to turn out. So it's this unpleasant or undesired emotional outcome. So we don't want. And that's what we would also identify as being hurt. Mm-hmm. If somebody hurt me, then I'm left feeling sad or disappointed or whatever it is. So it's really the everydayness of these feelings is why I chose them. And then the last part is the 90 seconds piece. And that's really the method, if you will, for leaning in. And what that involves is an understanding that we're one interconnected whole. Our brain is always feeding information to our body. Our body is always feeding information to our brain. So we need to keep in mind that those aren't disparate things or connected. The second is to understand that most of us come to know what we feel emotionally through bodily sensation. So think about, for instance, feeling embarrassed and you have heat, that heat sensation in your face. Somebody might see you red and flushed, but you're feeling heat. Heat is the bodily sensation. And what we can identify that for lots of other feelings too. So maybe sadness feels like a heaviness in the chest, but you have to stop and think about kind of how, what, and where you might experience feelings for yourself, what those bodily sensations are that help you know what you're feeling. But the key that this all turned on, there's two things, is realizing that it wasn't that we didn't want to feel the whole range of what we felt. What I realized is that we didn't want to feel the bodily sensation that helped us know what we were feeling emotionally. So that when people started to ignore unpleasant feelings or to shut down on them or distract from them, what they were trying to distract from was the bodily sensation that helped them know the feeling. The last part of it then, the 90 seconds part, is to understand that in order to lean into unpleasant feelings, or pleasant ones for that matter too, it means you're going to be riding short-lived bodily sensation waves. So Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor talked about that when a feeling gets triggered, that there's this rush of biochemicals into the body, into the bloodstream that actually activate the bodily sensations we've been talking about. And those same biochemicals flush out of the bloodstream in roughly an upper limit of 90 seconds. So any given bodily sensation wave or any given feeling, emotional feeling then, is going to last to roughly an upper limit of 90 seconds. And most people will go, well, I can handle 90 seconds. Great. Now you can lean into your feelings. My emphasis then is kind of to think about the arc then of the Rosenberg reset. It's that if you can ride one or more, and I'll emphasize the more, one or more short-lived bodily sensation waves of one or more of eight unpleasant feelings, you can go pursue anything you want in life.
Yeah, I think one of the big keys there is just to understand it only lasts for a short period of time.
That's it.
And yeah, for those people are going, hey, when am I going to get over this? And they just keep it up in their head. And now there's a process where, hey, this is going to happen. I understand it's going to happen, but I understand it's only going to last this long.
Right.
I can deal with that.
Right.
Wow. It's eye-opening.
It is eye-opening. It's like once you realize that, you can then lean into unpleasant feelings. Now, there's a whole thing around what people will describe as lingering feelings too, where they've lasted for decades. Well, actually, the feelings haven't lasted for decades. You are thinking or remembering certain experiences that it keep on activating that same loop is what is part of what's driving.
So that's the triggers that they have.
Yeah. So I think I've identified at this point, I talk about three in the book, but I think I've identified at least 5 ways where we have the experience of lingering feelings.
Wow. We got about 1.5 minutes of our time left.
Okay.
Your book is currently on Amazon. I know it's an international best-selling book. It's on Kindle. It's on hardback. People can go there and get it. If somebody would like to reach out to you,
yep,
how do they go about doing that?
Well, the best thing is probably to go to my website, drjoanrosenberg.com. There's a contact sheet there so that they can reach out to me via that. Or if they want to follow me on Instagram and direct message me on Instagram, on all the social media platforms, it's pretty much Dr. Joan Rosenberg. You can find that on Instagram or Twitter or any of those kinds of places. And especially Instagram would probably get to me. So
just one last thing that just popped into my head. Would you recommend somebody who's dealing with emotions like this, you know, almost as a daily routine or rhythm, like in the morning, do some sort of a 90-second reset, or just do that when the emotion comes upon them?
Do it when you notice the reaction. It doesn't have to be done separately. Just do it when you notice the reaction. And the key here would be to breathe into it. So you're noticing you're reacting to something happened. You got disappointed. You notice you're disappointed. Normally you back away. Instead, notice the disappointment, breathe into it. So you will actually allow yourself to experience the feeling. Slow, deep breathing, not fast breathing. And then see if you can notice what the feeling is and what it's attached to. And then if you have a little bit more time, you can actually go, gee, is there any pattern to this? What am I reacting to? What triggered me? And how do I want to make use of what I'm feeling? But do it when it happens. You don't have to necessarily practice it ahead of time.
Dr. Rosenberg, I want to thank you for joining us today. And for everybody listening, you want to go out to Amazon, the book, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love, How to Master Your Difficult Feelings to Cultivate Lasting Confidence, Resilience, and Authenticity. You definitely want to get the book. It'll make a difference in your life. Dr. Rosenberg, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your 40 years worth of experience. And I wish you safety, healthiness, and prosperity. Thanks for joining us today.
It's an honor. Thank you.
All righty. Dr. Rosenberg was wonderful. Again, I want to encourage you to reach out, go to Amazon, go to wherever you can, take a look at her book, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love, How to Master the Difficult Feelings to Cultivate Lasting Confidence, Resilience, and Authenticity. Next week, we have Nicole Schaefer. She's a mixologist. She's going to talk to us about how to mix those wonderful cocktails. We're going to have some fun next week. I want to look forward to seeing you next week right here on Saving with Steve. Stay safe, stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.